Hello and welcome to Inside Croydon's Under the Flyover podcast. For this week's episode, our reporter Ella Hopkins interviewed Chantelle Moses about what life is like for a young mother living in temporary accommodation in Croydon.
Hello everyone and welcome to our Inside Croydon podcast, Under the Flyover. Today we're going to speak about temporary housing in the area and we're joined by Chantelle Moses to tell us about the diabolical housing conditions she's experienced living in Croydon's Willis Court, an extension of Gilroy Court. Chantelle, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Could you tell us a bit about what you've experienced over the last year?
It's quite a lot within my building. You know, there's so much drug use. You know, people are selling and buying within like their flat and outside the complex. When I first joined, you know, there used to be like a group of mixed women and men outside the complex. You know, it was so scary. They was using, taking drugs, and every minute there was like the police in and out, doing raids and stuff. So summer last year, I decided to stay in my property, which is just like a box room. I have my toilet there and the kitchen, everything in one room. And it was very hot because it was just so like scary to come out. You know, there'll be fights and so forth. So my children at the time was 2 and 3. You know, so I was thinking I'm never going to bring them out in this mess.
That sounds really scary. And yeah, particularly yeah. For your young kids. How did you feel, you know, you moved there in February last year. How did you feel when you first saw your new flat?
Oh, the words was, I just couldn't explain the feelings that was going through my body because I could not believe this is where I was going to be. It's just not only about the size, it's also about the disrepair. You know, the room wasn't cleaned properly. On the outside, it looks very nice and, you know, clean and so forth. But as soon as you get in, it's just like a nightmare. Holes everywhere, from the back of the sinks to the radiators, even in the cupboards as well. It's just so much holes everywhere. And it was just so dirty. So I just thought to myself, what is going on? So I could not explain the feelings that was going through my mind, my body. I just really felt numb. I just thought it was a dream. I literally couldn't believe it was like a dream, a nightmare.
Of course. And how when you raise some of these issues to the council or to the housing management, how did people respond to you?
They responded very nasty. They were so mean to me on several occasions. I believe they have this tendency where if, you know, someone comes to them for housing, they're so busy, overloaded with work that they care about, like, you know, just pushing you away, saying horrible comments. Like I had one caseworker that I met mentioned to me, oh, I don't want to really put my kids through this, do I? Because we can place you in places where you'll be sharing with drug users and alcoholics. Mm-hmm. So it's like they know what's happening. It's like they get away with it. So when I called initially, when I first moved to this property, I actually spoke to a manager, I so believe, and her comments was like, you know, I did mention there's no room for my kids to play. And she just said, well, you just have to make it work. You know, so there's also no support on that side. So you just think that's it, you know, life is over. There's nothing you can do. You feel hopeless. And another thing, it's very embarrassing to ask for help. You know, myself, I used to always work, you know, so the situation was very embarrassing and they don't see that.
Yeah, of course. And what was it like, particularly living there during the pandemic?
Oh, it was absolutely isolating for myself, for the children. You know, I tried my best to do what I could. You know, in the day I was, you know, mommy role. As much as I was feeling like depressed and down and low energy because I was hardly eating, I still had to be a mother to the kids. So no support from the outside, of course, no visitors allowed anyway, never mind the pandemic. And the hospital is literally just across the road. So then that's another panic because I began to think, okay, you know, maybe it's in the air. So then sometimes I wasn't opening the windows. You know, it was just so horrible. And then as I was thinking, there's no one in the council that I could even message and say, look, you know, I need even the support and need help? Is there any, like, anyone you can speak to over the phone, maybe to, you know, just help me go every day so I can speak to someone? It was just really hard for the children as well, not understanding, Mom, why can't we go outside? Mom, why don't we have a garden anymore? You know, it was difficult. It was very difficult.
You've now been moved to a hotel very recently by the council. Why do you think they've done this after a year and a bit? And did they give you any reasons or explanation?
Again, no, because without saying any names, I did have someone who is very familiar with this place, and he's been fighting for many years to help and support families like myself or anyone that needs help. So I had met someone within the place who works, you know, in Gilroy Court and so forth. And then he mentioned there's a lady that knows someone that can help you. So on my behalf, I gave him a permission to, you know, just support my case. He then emailed the council and tried to contact them. He did not get anywhere. And he didn't get anywhere. So then he, after a couple of months, decided to get someone else involved who campaigns as well, to, you know, just follow up on his email. And then it happened so quick last week. You know, I had a knock at the door to say by two people, management, oh, we've been told by higher management and the council, we need to move you to a bigger and better place. They began to smile and say, you know, it'll be better for you. And even the guy that was representing me, I spoke to him and he said, do you know why they're doing that, Chantal? Because he couldn't believe it himself because he hasn't received a response. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, I think it's very odd. I think it's your work. But again, it just shows that they do what they like and they don't communicate. Even if you're in the wrong, it would be nice to say, Chantal, you know, this has happened and so forth. But since the time I was moved last week, I have not heard from anyone to explain why I was moved. I've been given the sheet to advise I need to, this is a service charge and the new confirmation of my move from the staff. But apart from the council, it's absolutely been useless. Don't know what's happened.
Yeah, it sounds like you've been really, really left in the dark. And I wondered, what would you say to the politicians or the council that are in charge of this? What would your message be to them?
I would really say to them to have a heart, open up their hearts, because it's like, to me, sometimes it feels like it's cold as ice. You know, get to know us. You know, I've been working with a few of them recently, and I've had to say to them, look, a lot of the times you're worried more about, oh, there's no housing within Croydon, we have no money, so forth. And I get told that it's nothing to do with me because I haven't accepted the job. You know, listen to us, because sometimes I could be going through what I'm going through, like in my room, I can smell the neighbor's drugs, crack, whatever he's smoking, it's coming into my room with my children. You know, I would go through that like I did before, but just have a support system, just, you know, be able to reach out to that person at the time, you know. So they really need to open their hearts, maybe remove themselves from their desk and start visiting places that they're paying for, because they can probably use somewhere else that's cheaper. I would definitely ask for them to just work with us, get down to the places, because as much as maybe they're thinking it's a scary area, we live in this area, you know, so come down and visit us, because we would love that, and listen to us. And don't, I find a lot of the times I was judged because they think, oh, you're just on benefits, you just sit down all day, and that's not how it works. They need to just get out of that mentality, because I felt like I've been judged a lot of the times, and I hear it, oh, you know, you just come here for housing and you just do this. Well, if it's affordable, if everything was affordable for us, like private sector and so forth, then we would have been, you know, renting. It's very hard where we're living, and they don't understand, you know, even pandemic wise, we providing food for your kids, they're eating more often because, you know, if you get bored or so forth, they're eating more. So a lot of our money is going into food and whatever we have to do. I would also advise, I've been, you know, buying toys and buying crafts and stuff like that for my children throughout the pandemic to keep them going, you know. So I opened up a nursery for myself. So yeah, you know, I would ask them to come down
and see what you're experiencing. You described, you know, there's people using drugs and police raids. Were you aware of other families living in the block?
Yes, I know quite a few families, and they have pictures, videos of raids, of people with firearms, knives, you know, within this complex, and they can all vouch for that. You know, Croydon has put a couple of families in two different rooms, and they're not rooms next to each other. They're rooms, like one family, I think they have three kids, and of course, the two adults, or four children, sorry, and they've put them in one of them are in a room upstairs, and another one is like a room a couple floors down. So, you know, it's just crazy. Is it that crazy that they do that? And then I've seen empty three-bedroom, two-bedroom apartments, and then you just see a new family come in. You know, so it's like, we're here, and instead of they're just thinking, okay, we actually have this family, why not move them there? They just really, I just don't understand what's going on. There's a duty of care, but I don't feel like I've been cared for at all.
What are your worries about the future and where you might be put next?
I'm just, at the moment, it's just nice that I've got opportunity to speak. But speaking on behalf of myself and other families, a lot of them don't have a lot of hope. You know, we've had suicides in this place as well, you know, because people are fed up. And this is my worry. How many more lives are going to be taken? And then there's a cycle of, like, some families and young children, they're just going to go into crime. They're going to, again, you know, think life is over. And it's just a cycle that just keeps going around and around. So that's my worry. Even being placed, I just have no hope, because I have friends that's been in temporary accommodation 6 years. So I'm just hoping that I can somehow find affordable housing myself and see, but it's just useless. I just don't know what to do anymore.
Of course. And yeah, housing is so unaffordable at the moment. It makes it impossible for families like yours.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chantelle, for taking the time to speak with us on the podcast and share your experiences.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Inside Croydon podcast. To catch up with all of our website's latest coverage of the housing scandal in Croydon, keep coming back to insidecroydon.com.